Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Wine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever called 411 for information? Would you like to learn more about dealing with teenagers? Wouldn't we all? Have you ever wanted to know about the realities of the teenage years? You know, we've all been there. Can you imagine your own teenager dealing with an eating disorder? Tell me, do you know what the risks of cell phone usage are these days? It's a whole different situation out there right now with all of them walking around with cell phones. Have you ever heard about a book called 411 Surviving Teenhood? Or better yet, do you have any questions? And now, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers about teenhood that we've all been looking for? Are you ready to learn how to be successful and how to deal with your teenager? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today I will be introducing you to my guest. She is a success coach extraordinaire, and she's been on the show before. She will provide us with wonderful, informative, and inspirational lessons and some really, really great advice about teenhood. I'm pleased to announce that our show now has over 1.7 million listeners. Also, LinkedIn has announced that my profile was one of the top 5% most viewed during 2012. Now, let me tell you about my guest today. She is a registered nurse, life skills expert, speaker, and author. In 1982, she received her AS degree in business. In 1993, she received her associate in science degree in nursing. In 1999, our guest received her bachelor of science degree in nursing. And then she went on and graduated with high, high honors. She has previously published in both poetry books and a nursing journal. My guest is also the owner of Open Pages Publishing, LLC, offering quality self-publishing. Her first book, Useful Information for Everyday Living, was published in October 2010 and was later changed to 411 on Life Skills, then released again in June 2011. Her next book, The 411 on Step-Parenting, was released in 2011. Her latest book, 411 on Surviving Teenhood, was published last year in 2012. She is well-respected in her areas of expertise, her years of experience as a registered nurse, mother, and life skills expert have given her the knowledge and wisdom to write her books, and I am so pleased to welcome back to the show again, Michelle Spafakanos, and I have practiced that name all day, Michelle. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you. And I love that, the fact that you changed your titles on your books to 411. Where did that inspiration come from?
Well, I had originally thought, you know, this type of information that I was writing on was more of an emergency. So I ran it by a few people, and I thought, what would you think if I said the 911, you know, giving you the 911 on life skills? And a lot of people said, it would be information to survive out in the wild. And although we do live in a pretty wild society, I thought, I'm really not trying to give survival skills, so let's just go with informational item of 411 on life skills, and that's kind of how that came about.
Well, I think it's a positively brilliant title, and I think you really have a good trademark here. Share with us a little bit your own personal success story. Where were you born? Where were you raised? And share with us who your early mentors were in your life.
Okay. I was actually born in Homestead, Florida, which is just below Miami, and I was raised in Homestead as well. My mentors mostly were my teachers, my mother, my father. I, you know, really followed along with all of their friends, and I tried to get as close to people that were successful as I could to learn from them, because, you know, everybody has something to teach you. So we later moved. I was married. I had two children. I then divorced. I remarried, moved over to Fort Myers, which is where I reside now, still in Florida.
Okay.
So probably never leave Florida. And, of course, you know, my children are grown now, and I have two grandchildren, so I get to go through all of this all over again.
Oh, fantastic. Well, you look so beautiful and young. Congratulations on being a granny. You know, when you look back on your teen years, could you share a little bit with us about the good, the bad, and the ugly? What was it like for you growing up as a teenager?
When I was a teenager, we weren't faced with quite as much that the teens are faced with today. Of course, you know, there was always drugs and there was different cliques that you could hang with. I was actually a teenager that I was in everything. I was in 4-H. I was in Girl Scouts. I did gymnastics. I did dancing, tap dancing, jazz dancing, piano lessons. I was in everything. So my parents were really good at keeping me busy so that I didn't get into a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, made sure that I made good grades, even though I slipped every once in a while, like all kids,
mm-hmm.
you know, but for the most
sure.
part, I made good grades, and I wanted to be well-liked by everybody. I was a cheerleader, so I was, you know, pretty popular, and I had a good time in school, but, you know, it was very frustrating to see how some of the kids were mistreated.
Uh-huh.
And to think back on it now that, you know, that was bullying. And we didn't think of bullies back then as we think of them now. You know,
mm-hmm.
back in the day, a bully was someone who took your lunch money.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
pretty much
yeah.
that was it. You know, they were just a big mean person at school that took your lunch money. Today, of course, it's much, much more than that. And with our technology today, it's much more than that. So, you know, we certainly didn't face what they face today.
Oh, I think it's much, much more difficult. I think it's difficult for parents now, and I really do feel it's difficult for teenagers with all of the technology, as you said earlier. Now, were you an only child, or did you have siblings?
No, I had an older sister, and we were and still are pretty much like night and day. She played the sports and, you know, was kind of the tomboy of the family, and I was the girl, wore the dresses, did all the girly dancing and all that good stuff. But I tell you, she's my best friend.
Oh, how wonderful.
She is my best friend, so.
Oh, that's so great to hear. I did not have a sister, and I've always been so jealous of people who have sisters and who are still very close to them. It appears that you have such good memories of growing up. Now, I noticed from your name, Spafakanos, that you are in a Greek family. Did you have a great big Greek wedding?
No, actually, I mean, we had a fairly big wedding, but my husband is Greek, and his family did come from the island of Crete, and so, you know, we get all the good Greek food and Greek pastries, and it's been very interesting. It's been very fun. We've been married for 17 years now.
Oh, wonderful. And now do you live next door to your in-laws?
No, they live across the state of Florida on the other side.
Okay. That's one of my favorite movies. I could watch that movie over and over again. It's so wonderful. What a great culture to come from. I've been to Greece, and I love it. The people there are so loving and hospitable. Let's back up a little bit and talk a little more about the bullying situation. You know, I've done 3 or 4 shows now on bullying, and this is something that has come to the forefront, because when I was raising my 4 teenagers, I never even heard that word, and now it's all we hear about. Why is that?
Well, because people can use computers and cell phones as anonymous.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
It's just easier for them to get at other people and to be jealous of other people and to take it out on them through that avenue. Half the time, kids don't even know who it's coming from, because you can create so many different online IDs that you have no idea who's attacking you.
Oh, gosh. It's such an insidious, horrible situation. What do you address this in your book?
I do. I have a chapter on computer usage and cyberbullying. And I start out talking about, you know, computer basics. A lot of kids today, they're given a computer. It's supposed to be for school, but of course they use it for all the social media and, you know, everything on the internet. And one of the things that I do encourage is, you know, to make sure that you sit down with your kids, your teenagers, and really go through the basics and say, you know, I can put parental controls on your computer, or I can trust you not to go to these areas. And, of course, you know, not that you don't trust your children, but you do want to check their history. Find out how, if you're not sure how, you want to check their history of the websites that they're going to, just to kind of monitor things and make sure everything's okay. But you also want to talk to them about, you know, surge protector equipment. You know, you can't just leave a laptop plugged in, or you don't want to just leave it plugged in on online all the time. You know, there's too many people out there that are really, really good with computers and can hack into your system and steal all of your information, or send out emails on your behalf and you not be aware of it. So, you know, you want to make sure that you have a good, not only a good virus protection, but good security protection. You know, the biggest thing, and we all kind of laugh about it, but it's really not funny because it's affected a lot of people. But you get those emails that are phishing schemes.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you really got to not only convince your teenager, but some parents, you have to convince them that that person over in Nigeria really isn't going to send them $1 million.
Yeah.
You know, it's you know, nobody's going to get rich quick. And if something seems too good to be true, chances are it is.
Okay, that is such practical advice. It's something we've heard all our lives, but yet it's so enticing, not just for young people, for everyone, when you get these emails that are just so amazing and over the top. But what you're suggesting basically is that it's very important to turn off your computer every night.
Yes.
Okay, not just put it to sleep. You want me to turn it off.
Yes. You know, computers need rest, too. And, you know, it's just like your cell phone, too. I know with my cell phone, there are times when it just kind of freezes.
Yeah.
And I have to turn it off and turn it back on. You know, everything in technology needs to be restarted at one point or another just to get refreshed.
That's such great advice, and that's something, you know, I usually put mine to sleep, but from now on I'm going to turn it off, and I hope my listeners will follow your advice. You know, we're going to take a break and hear a little bit about your host and my latest book that just came out, and when we come back with Michelle Spafakanas, we're going to talk about her fantastic books, her 411 book series. We'll be right back with Michelle.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? someone who has touched your heart and soul. People who have faced difficult problems. People who fearlessly shared their stories. People who have priceless personalities. I've been fortunate to host a talk show called January Jones Sharing Success Stories, and it's been my privilege to interview hundreds of guests. In my new ebook, we're talking about people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, and even polygamy. Then there are my guests dealing with physical struggles such as blindness, cancer, and birth defects. All of my guests have been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. I look forward to sharing them with you in my new ebook, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones. The introductory offer of $4.99 is now available at Amazon.com. Order it today.
Welcome back with my wonderful guest, Michelle Spafakanos, and her brilliant series of books, 411. Michelle, you truly are one of my priceless personalities. It's been so wonderful to get to know you and have you on the show. Tell us, what was the driving factor that prompted you to write this book on teenhood?
Well, you know, when you turn on the news channel or you pick up a newspaper, most likely the stories that you're going to read will include some kind of bullying or car accidents, burglaries, you know, other types of acts that are being committed by teenagers, you know. And I really felt the need that we have to get the information out there so that we can grab a hold of our kids, especially those teenagers, and get back to our real family values. Not many families sit home, or not sit home, but sit around the table at night for a dinner. They don't sit together. They don't discuss their day. They don't, you know, try and work out the challenges together. Mm-hmm. Everybody's pulled in different directions. You know, a lot of people play sports. So they're, you know, the parent gets off work and they're off to sports. They're eating fast food. Where's the nutrition? Mm. You know, and I just really have a passion that we really need to grab a hold of our teens and say, hey, you're faced with a lot of stuff now. You know, you're not only trying to find yourself and your way in this world, but you're also being put in positions that maybe you shouldn't be, and you need to know how to get out of them. Yeah. So let me, as your parent, be your guide, be your moral compass, and let me help you. Don't shut me out.
Right. You know, it seems that I know I have 7 grandchildren, and I look at their lives compared to their parents' lives. They seem to be growing up so fast, or maybe it's I'm growing older so fast. But I've noticed that most of these families, parents have 2 jobs. With this economy,
yes.
That Leave It to Beaver family doesn't exist anymore, does it?
No, it doesn't. And, you know, our teens, this is a really, like I said, stressful time in their life.
Sure.
And many teenagers, they can be, you know, pretty charming and caring and interesting, especially the way they dress sometimes, you know. But when you think about it, you know, kids want to be heard. Teens want to be heard. They don't want to be put in the corner. They don't want to be sent to their room. They want to be heard. And I really feel as parents, we've got to give them that, you know, opportunity to be heard, hear their opinion, hear what's going on in their head, the things that they're being, you know, subjected to, and help them to make heads or tails of it so that nothing happens that is devastating to them for the rest of their life.
Right.
You know, your teen years, you carry with them with you forever, and they don't get buried.
Yeah. You know, I grew up and I went to an all-girls Catholic school and we wore uniforms, and that was just the way our life was. We had no decisions, not much individualism. And I'm one of the few older people in my generation. I celebrate their individualism. I love to see them with their different hairdos and haircuts, and I love to see the originality in clothes that they come up with. What are your thoughts about them expressing themselves this way?
You know, and that's when we get into peer group pressure.
Uh-huh.
A lot of kids, because they are teens, they're trying to find their self, you know,
mm-hmm.
they're trying to find their likes, their dislikes. Do they want to dress in all black and hang with, you know, the gothic
yeah.
group? Do they want to be a jockey? do they want to be, you know, really smart and be considered a geek or a nerd? You know, there's just so many peer groups that they can fall into. But we have to be very careful in what peer group we do let them fall into, I think, as parents. Mm-hmm. Only because, you know, there are a lot of teens that don't associate with any groups and prefer to hang out with maybe just, you know, one or two friends. You'll fall into a problem with society as a whole, depending on what group your child selects.
Yeah.
Because, again, this is something that goes along with them. So, you know, in helping our teenagers think about their future, we need to say, hey, be yourself and do what you like to do. But just remember, when you're ready to go job hunting or do anything of importance, you may have to let, you know, push that to the side a little bit. Because what society conforms as normal, it's not normal for everybody, but yet we as the older generation think everybody should conform to one, you know, straight line when we're job hunting.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Everything changes when you get out into the real world, into the job market. You know, I'm thinking about Halloween coming up. I love Halloween because I get to dress like my teenage grandchildren. And I think you have to have a sense of humor about teenagers when they're trying to express themselves. Now, Michelle, let's talk a little bit about nutrition and eating disorders. And we hear about, well, we hear about bullying all the time. I've done several shows on that, but I have never done a show on eating disorders. Could you share some thoughts on that?
Well, you know, teenagers, they, you know, it's body image. It's all about body image to them. You know, we have the media, the television media, online. They all show, you know, we still go back to, they show smoking is glamorous.
Yeah.
You know, you're a star if you smoke cigarettes. If you're a model, you're twiggy and, you know, you can't weigh but 96 pounds soaking wet, you know,
mm-hmm.
just to look good in these clothes.
Mm-hmm.
So our younger girls think, oh, my gosh, I have to be 96 pounds for anybody to like me.
Oh,
so
no.
They, you know, a lot of times that they'll go in and you have to watch your children to look for these different eating disorders. There's three main types of eating disorders.
Okay,
one
what
is,
are they?
Anorexia,
uh-huh.
Bulimia, and then we have a binge eating disorder known as binging or just binge eating. And,
okay.
you know, emotions play a lot into this. But just so you know, anorexia, it means without appetite. And
mm-hmm.
the nervosa part refers to your nervous system. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, many girls, they will deprive their bodies of that, you know, necessary nutrition in the form of calories and, you know, just not eat. I used to work at a teenage mental health facility.
Mm-hmm.
And the girls there told me, they told me all their tricks. So then they couldn't pull them on me. It was so cute.
Yeah.
They confided in me. And then, you know, I watched them. I was like, wait a minute, you can't do that. The anorexic young ladies, they would at lunchtime get a cup of hot water because hot water makes you feel full.
Okay.
And they didn't have to eat. They would just drink the hot water and feel full.
Oh, my gosh.
So they wouldn't gain any weight. So,
now,
you know, I caught on to that
about,
pretty quickly.
I heard about teens putting, like, ketchup and flavoring in their hot water. Is that what they do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, just to, you know, just to have some flavor to it and make them feel mentally like they're getting something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we caught on to that pretty quickly.
Sure.
Then the bulimia.
What
did
they do?
Yeah. Bulimics, they will actually eat a lot of food and then feel very guilty about it. Bulimia actually has two parts. The first part includes the binging part or uncontrolled overeating. And then the second part involves unhealthy behaviors like fasting or purging, like using laxatives or diuretics. Also known as water pills, or over-exercising. They'll eat so much and think, oh my gosh, you know, and I shouldn't have done that. And then they'll go run and they'll exercise until sometimes they pass out.
Oh, okay.
You know, so we have to be very careful because, you know, bulimia, there's a lot of different health problems that can arise from any kind of eating disorder. And, you know, the biggest one is heart problems, including heart failure.
Oh, wow.
And, of course, the worst of all is death. But, I mean, there's a lot in between there. But, you know, kids don't realize that they can become addicted to laxatives.
Uh-huh.
And it can damage their kidneys and their colon. It can actually has been proven to cause colon cancer. So, you know, we really need to educate our children on these eating disorders and watch them closely. If you have a family meal and all of a sudden your teen says, you know, may I be excused or I'm done eating and gets up and goes straight to the bathroom, you want to check that out.
Yeah. And that's part of the cycle that they get into and the bulimia. You know, I used to own a fitness center and I saw that so many times. I would see young girls come in and they were frantically exercising to a level that was very unhealthy. I think this has been going on for a long time. Don't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. It's been going on for years and years and years. And I can honestly feel that it's not that it's gotten worse, but it's certainly not gotten any better because the ads on TV are still there.
And you see all the young celebrities, and they're all so proud because they're size zero, whatever that means.
Yes.
I don't think I was size zero the day I was born, but I know that they all want to be size zero, and they take such pride in that. And that is a bad example for teenagers. You know, we're going to take a break and hear from one of my sponsors. We're going to be back with Michelle, and we're going to talk about cell phone usage, and she has a sample cell phone contract in her book that I'd like to talk about when we come back with Michelle, the author of 411 Surviving Teenhood.
Could your commute or daily exercise routine use a boost? When was the last time you really got the giggles? This is Adele Park, author of Yikes, another quirky audiobook, inviting you to tune in, turn on, and let loose a few good laughs. Yikes, another quirky audiobook, is about a marijuana enthusiast named Blue McKenna who gets involved in a reality TV show as a way to cure an apocalyptic case of writer's block. A conglomerate of kooky contestants invades the polygamous community of Naval, Utah to compete in a reality show called Yikes. Things get sticky when Blue McKenna's hemp garden is ignited during an ill-fated seance. Find out what's going down in the desert in Yikes, another quirky audiobook. Visit www.yikesaudiobook.com to learn more. That's www.yikesaudiobook.com.
Welcome back, and I highly recommend both of Adele's books, Yikes and Jitters. They're fantastic books to put in your car and listen to if you have a long trip or if you're just driving around town. We're back with Michelle Spafakanas, and we're talking about teenagers and teenhood. And let's talk a little bit. Well, first, Michelle, let's go and share your website information and tell my listeners where your books are available.
Okay. My website is www.my411books.com, and all of my books are available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, any major online book retailer.
Okay. And are your books in Kindle format?
Yes, they are.
Wonderful, because I am addicted to my Kindle.
I love mine.
I know. I have it with me everywhere I go. Now, Michelle, share with us. It's so nice to have you back on the show. I've missed talking to you. What are some of the risks of cell phone usage for teenagers? And they all have phones. I know my preteens, they get their phones when they're 12 years old.
Yeah, well, you know, today it's not a matter of whether a teen's going to get a phone, it's when they're going to get a phone.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly cell phones have come a long way. One of the risks of using cell phones is sexting, the act of sending the sexually explicit messages and photos. You know, that's really popular. And actually this week I heard another acronym that they put out there. They called it sextortion. And what that is there was a young girl on the television that said her boyfriend told her at 12 years old he needed a sexually explicit picture of her.
Okay.
And so she did it, and knowing it was wrong, but she did it and sent it to him. Well, then he, of course, said, if you don't send me more, I'm going to post these on the Internet. So she sent him more. Well, then his friends found out about it, and they said, well, if you don't send us some, we're going to tell everybody. So, I mean, the poor little girl was just blackmailed for years.
Yeah.
So, they called that sextortion. Wow.
Sextortion. Now, that's a new one for me. I have never heard of that. And it's just you can see how a young girl would be seduced into that, because at that age, they want to have attention. They want people to like them. Wow, that is that's very scary stuff.
It is. And, you know, there's some health risks also. Teenagers who use their cell phone excessively are actually more prone to disrupted sleep, restlessness, stress, and fatigue. And, you know, teens actually become addicted to the cell phone to boost their moods.
Oh.
They feel pressured to remain connected and reachable around the clock. And when they're not in contact 24/7, that's when they start getting real restless and agitated. So one of the things that I suggest parents do is a cell phone contract. And I do have it in the back of my book.
Uh-huh.
And it says things like, you know, I will stick to the usage allowed with our cell phone plan, and I will not go over the limits of usage. My cell phone must be turned off at, and you designate a time each night.
Mm-hmm.
It's my responsibility to recharge the cell phone. I also have in there that I will not take pictures or video of nudity, violence, or unlawful activities. I will not use it while driving. I will not use the phone to call anyone for malicious purposes. I won't post my number in social media websites. I won't download anything onto the phone without permission. And, you know, I respect that my parents love me and want to keep me safe, and I know having the use of a cell phone is a privilege. And basically a couple other things, and then the parent signs it and the teen signs it. And then that way they know if they break any of these rules, it's teaching them about contracts, because they are going to have contracts later in life. And if you break a contract, you have consequences.
Wow. This is very, very powerful. I will be sending this interview to my children for them to share with my grandchildren. This is such a fantastic contract, and it's such good advice, because I'm sure these are some of the things that parents don't even think about.
Oh, I'm sure not. You know, the parents have a lot on their plates, too, and I never intend to knock parents in any way, shape, or form, because I know everybody's doing good with the information they have. But, you know, there's a saying, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And that was one of the reasons that I really wanted to write the 411 on surviving teenhood, because there's things in here, you know, teenage pregnancy, information about runaway, teenage suicide, different types of parenting styles, talking about sex, how to have those conversations. You know, I'm very strong in my belief about using teachable moments. And a teachable moment is, it could be when you're sitting watching TV together and say somebody's on there smoking, a teenager's on there smoking, or you're driving down the road, you see a teen smoking on the side of the road. That is a teachable moment. That's when you go, hey, how do you feel about smoking? Any of your friends smoke? You know, just start the conversation. You see, you know, we have a lot of teenage pregnancy shows on the TV. Sit down and watch it with your child and say, hey, what do you think? Is this something you think you know, are you interested in having a baby? You know, I mean, you have to come right out and ask, because they're certainly not going to just volunteer information.
You know, I remember when my girls were young at their school, they had this project where they had an egg that they had to bring home and take care of this egg 24/7, just like it was a baby. And by the time they got done with that project, I don't think any of them wanted to have kids ever.
Right.
But I love that teachable moments. They're out there. You just have to actually seize the moment, don't you?
You do. You do. And I do have on the teenage pregnancy chapter, I actually have an exercise that I encourage every parent to go through with his or her teenager, because it's not just the girls. The boys are just as responsible for, you know, a newborn as the girls are. But what I just say is, you know, take a piece of paper, have two columns. One column is going to be everything that would be, say, for the week of taking care of a baby.
Uh-huh.
That's cost per item for 1 week. In column two, you calculate the one-time expenses, like the crib, the mattress, some clothes, a car seat. You know, those big one-time purchases. And then calculate minimum wage times 40 hours.
Oh,
deduct
20%
for taxes and another 60% for rent, phone, water, electric, and garbage. And then finally, deduct column one for that weekly, you know, taking care of that baby from what's left of the paycheck. And then look at the total and ask your teenager how they would be able to afford being a new mom or dad. Because column two is considered a really large one-time expense, and where would that money come from? So, you know, teens don't think about the consequences of their actions, but seeing it in their handwriting, their own handwriting, they did all this calculating and all this writing, can make a difference. Because they're going to go, wow, this is expensive. You know, and wow, I'm going to have to give up prom, and I'm going to have to probably give up college. And you know, and you start thinking about that long term, and, you know, I love Scared Straight. You know, I sometimes think you have to scare kids a little bit. But, again, they have to see it for themselves. You just can't say, you know, it's going to cost this, this, and this, and this, because it's going to go right through their head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make them write it down on a piece of paper and then go, what do you think?
Yeah. And what do you think about these reality shows that seem to glamorize teen motherhood? What's your thoughts on that?
It just breaks my heart,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
because I know that they do show some struggles that these teenage moms go through. But then, you know, our teenagers are watching them and going, but they're on TV.
They're famous.
And they're making money, and they're famous.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they've got all this support. Okay. And again, a teachable moment of you're not famous. You're not on TV. And although I will support you, because I truly think even if a child makes a mistake, you still need to be there for them no matter what.
Absolutely.
But we still need to teach them and give them, equip them with the information and allow them to make the right choice.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's so good to expose teenagers to small children. I know when we had our grandson come to visit and we had our other grandson who is 12, 13 years older, I had him spend a day with us and our little one-year-old. And, oh, my gosh, he was exhausted at the end of the day.
Yes. Oh, they should all volunteer somewhere at a daycare. Absolutely.
I know that there's nothing like having to take care of someone 24/7 before you get the big picture. You know, we're going to take a break and hear about from one of my sponsors. And when we come back with Michelle, I want to talk a little bit about teenage suicide that is on the rise, and if you have some things that parents need to watch for and look out for. We'll be right back with Michelle, the author of 411 on Surviving Teenhood.
Second time around can be better. Second timers try harder. Looking to have a rewarding second marriage? Any marriage. Read Successful Second Marriages by Patricia Bubash. She interviews a variety of couples that have succeeded in their second attempt. Each story reflects that the second marriages can be tough going, yet be the best of the best. Learn from these couples who share their intimate stories, how they struggled with difficulty and have thrived. Stories such as, our kids drove us apart. We separated 5 times in 4 years. 4 months into our marriage, my 85-year-old father-in-law came to live with us. 1 year into our marriage, I was diagnosed legally blind. Death of my eldest child brought grief, depression into our new marriage. Successful Second Marriages is encouraging, hopeful, inspiring. Available on Amazon.com in book form and ebook. Read Pat's musings at www.successfulsecondmarriages.com.
I highly recommend Pat's book. You know, I'm in a successful second marriage, and we'll be celebrating 43 years this year. So if you're thinking about it, go for it. Now, Michelle, let's talk about teen suicide and the fact that it's on the rise these days.
It is. You know, actually, it is the third leading cause of death for 15 to 24-year-olds.
Wow. Wow.
And, you know, there's a lot of reasons that our teens are committing suicide. And, you know, just to name a few, self-doubt, pressure to succeed. You know, we as parents, we do put a lot of pressure on our kids to do good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, failing grades, family turmoil like a divorce, or a formation of a new family, a new step family, you know, a move to a new community. You know, a lot of our teens, a lot of them who commit suicide actually have mental or substance-related disorders, you know, and a lot of times it's the parents that have the same disorder.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know?
It's a generational thing, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. And, you know, a lot of teens, they're just unable to see that their lives can actually turn around. And they're unable to recognize that suicide, it's actually a permanent solution to a temporary problem.
Oh, yeah, that's very well put.
You know, and depression and suicidal feelings, you know, they're actually treatable mental disorders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but as far as what parents can look for, they really need to be aware of a significant loss or gain in appetite. If they withdraw from families, friends, you know, the kind of activities they used to love to do, if they start neglecting their personal appearance, and I'm not talking about they start hanging around with a new clique, but, you know your child, the way they dress and the way they act. Feelings of worthlessness or guilt, if they start using drugs, you know, if they have absolutely no tolerance for praise or rewards.
Oh, okay, okay,
you know,
that's a big one.
Yes, and, you know, a teenager planning to commit suicide, they'll also give verbal hints. They'll say things like, you don't have to worry about me much longer, nothing matters, it's no use, I'm a failure. If they start giving away or throwing away their favorite belongings that you know they just would not part with, you know, if they become, I'm sorry?
That they're putting out red flags, aren't they?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. You know, and if they become happy and joyful too quickly after a period of depression, you know, that's a sure sign. If someone comes right out and says, I want to kill myself or I hope I don't wake up in the morning, always take that statement seriously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people are really uncomfortable talking about death. And, you know, one of the most common misconceptions about talking with someone who might be contemplating suicide is that bringing up that subject could make things worse.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so not true.
Not true.
You know, bringing up the question of suicide and talking to them without showing shock or disapproval, you know, that's one of the most helpful things you can do for someone. You actually show that you take them seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And that you're going to respond to their need for help, that you are there for them no matter what. And just as a parent, never assume when someone's intending to end his or her life that they can't be stopped, because they can.
They can be. You have to be very proactive, and these are just such important things to watch for. I think so many times people just want to put their head in the sand and ignore the things that are happening in front of them, because it's very unpleasant to deal with these things, isn't it?
It is, you know, and a lot of times people think, oh, there's something wrong with my family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's embarrassing. Well, you know, there is no shame in getting professional help.
Yeah, yeah.
Every family goes through something at one time or another, and you either turn to a professional, you can turn to a pastor, a preacher, you can turn to a school counselor. There are so many people out there willing to help somebody that's in trouble or a family that's in trouble. You just need to look and ask.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You talk about different styles of parenting in the book, and is there one that's better than another, or is it up to each family to create their own style, then what works for them?
Well, you know, no one style works best for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Parents usually create their own styles from a combination of things, such as
survival.
Well, their styles are actually affected by their parents.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, how did your parents parent you?
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, you could either accept or you can reject those practices. You can look at other parents. You know, what are they doing? What are the successful kids' parents doing? You know, if you feel that your child isn't where they should be. You know, a lot of times you can adapt one parenting style. Say, for example, you have an authoritative where, you know, these parents are very demanding and responsive. They have a child-centered approach, and they hold high expectations. You might want to do that while the child's younger, and then as you see that, you know, they're approaching teenage hood, you might want to say, well, why don't we go with positive parenting? That way we can really empower our kids and praise them, you know, and keep them on the positive track. So,
right.
You know, one style may work for a while, but according to your child, you may have to switch to another style.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And for each child, it can be different. And that's the difficult thing. You know, I have Bernie Siegel comes on the show once a month with me, and he's written such fantastic books on raising children, Love, Magic, and Mud Pies, and on and on and on. And once a month we talk about kids, and we go through a chapter each month. And one of the things he stresses that I think is so very, very important is family night, doing things together as a family at least once a week. Do you agree with that?
Oh, I completely agree. And, you know, with nutrition being such a big part in everybody's life today and exercise, I say don't just send the kids outside to play. Go outside and play with them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's big.
Yes.
That's big. And, you know, you need to, when you're with your children, I this is one of the things, my favorite things in life, is letting the child within myself out and we call it our silly sausage moments, and
yes.
I love doing that with my grandchildren. We've done it with them when they're young, and we still do it when they're teenagers, and of course they roll their eyes, but you know what, those are the moments they're going to remember forever and ever.
Yes they will. My grandson and I, we do a lot of silly things. He's 7 years old, and I tell you, I'm not sure who's silly, or him or I.
Yeah, I know. It's such an important thing to do. Keep the sense of humor. And, of course, obviously, you know, my mantra, that I don't want any whining while I'm around.
Right.
Well, Michelle, this has been fabulous having you back on the show. I've so looked forward to visiting with you again, and I hope my listeners will go to my411books.com and buy your books and support you, and I look forward to having you back many, many times in the future.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
To my wonderful listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our show today with Michelle. Isn't she amazing? My upcoming guests for the rest of the week are all exciting, energizing, eclectic. They will amaze, amuse, and they will astonish you. This is the show where you hear inspiring information that will help you to become successful, too, with raising your teens. I would love to welcome you to our wonderful No Whining world. We love sharing our stories, our struggles, and our secrets for success. It's our hope that we can encourage all of our listeners to emulate our guests today and every day. Remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, dear friends, please stop with the whining and then start smiling and then start sharing our success show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Remember, you heard it here from January Jones. Chocolate is the new broccoli. Thank you to Michelle Spafakanis, and I love to have you back again. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Story. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.